progression of time and through the progression of that sickness, Lazarus dies. But I want to really talk to you tonight, preach to you on the subject of delays. Now, there are things that we find in the Word of God and things that we experience in life that God uses in our life to better us. And we could think about detours tonight. And Lord willing, maybe next week we're scheduled to preach here Wednesday. We might look at detours and look at the children of Israel in the wilderness. But there are different things in the Word of God that God uses to enhance our life and increase our faith. And of course, detours would be one of those things. But here in John chapter number 11, we're interested in the idea of delays. Now, tonight it's interesting that I was going to be preaching on this and I was getting ready for church. We had some errands to run before the evening and then we got home, ate a sandwich, tried to get the kids ready and all that kind of stuff. And you know how that is. And looking through my suit closet, getting everything and putting clothes on and all of that kind of stuff. Well, it kind of dawned on me. I said, I need my belt. I can't find my belt. Where's my belt? And so I spent about 5 minutes looking for my belt, and lo and behold, I already had it on. Has anybody ever been there? You're looking for the phone, and the phone is in your hand. You're looking for the wallet, and you've already got it. And things like that, they're irritating, and they're annoying, and they can cause us to be delayed in life. But there are greater weights and greater burdens and greater affliction that go far more than just a lost belt or a misplaced wallet or a phone that we can't find. There are very real problems that we face in life. And we look at this family here in John chapter number 11, and they had a very real problem. These sisters were here, and their brother Lazarus was sick, and he was not only sick, but he was dying. And that was an important issue to them. That was a great burden to them. And I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight, preach, what have you, on this idea of God's design for delays in our life. Look with me in John chapter number 11. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 18. We'll kind of pick up in the middle of the story here. We don't have to trace back, and we know what we're dealing with tonight. We're all familiar with this story. But look in John chapter number 11 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave. A stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much, Lord, for this service tonight. Thank you, God, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for those reminders, Lord, that we're going to see your face, Lord, that you, Lord, have purchased us with your own blood, Lord, that you've saved us, Lord, you have separated us, Lord, unto yourself. And Lord, what a blessing it is, God, to be saved tonight, Lord, to know that we have passed from death unto life. And Lord, as we read this familiar story tonight, and Lord, as we endeavor to draw these truths out, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. God, there may be somebody here tonight struggling with delays. Lord, they're waiting on you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the grace, God, to continue to trust you. And Lord, to know and understand, God, that it is for their benefit and for your glory tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd touch us and help us speak to our hearts. Help the Christian. Pray, Lord, that tonight, if there's one here lost without you, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. Make the gospel real to them. God, show them where they stand before you. But I pray that they'd see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And God, we ask, Lord, to that end, we pray to that end that Jesus Christ would have the preeminence, Lord, that you would be glorified and that your will would be accomplished in these days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we come here to John chapter number 11, as we said, that this family is dealing with this delay. We have Mary and Martha, these two sisters, with their brother Lazarus. No doubt this was a place that Jesus frequented often. This is a place where he would visit. This was not just some flippant relationship. This was not some acquaintance here, but Jesus had spent time with this family and had developed a real relationship with them. These women knew and understood that whenever Lazarus fell sick and Lazarus was in this condition as he was nearing death's door, thank God tonight the testimony of these women is that they knew who that they could come to. Amen. They knew who they could send for tonight. Amen. And they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to make the difference in their life tonight. Amen. Whenever we think about these delays tonight, I want you to think first of all, and we're just going to kind of walk through some things here with this first point, but I want you to think about first of all the reality of delays, the reality of delays. We mentioned just a moment ago that this was a very real problem in this family's life. This was not just a bill that was not to be paid. This was not just some social situation that was bothering them. Their brother was knocking on death's door, and if Jesus had not come and would not come and intervene, then he was soon to be dead. And then the gloom and the sadness and all of the things that accompany loss would then be there present in their life. Amen. But this was a very real problem. Can I say tonight that as we read this story, I think all of us could find ourselves or have found ourselves and will again find ourselves in this situation. All of us face delays in our life. Let me put it like this. The psalmist cried. He said, Oh Lord, how long? Amen. Oh Lord, how long? But the good news is, as we find later on, that's in Psalm chapter number 34. Psalm chapter number 40, the psalmist later cried. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard me and he inclined his ear unto my cry. Here's what we find out from the psalmist tonight. The psalmist knew what it was to feel as if God was delayed in his life. He knew what it was to question God. Where are you? Why why aren't you doing anything about my present situation? But thank God, with patience and life working the way it does and God working the way He does, thank God the psalmist could testify that I waited patiently on the Lord and He heard me and He came to my rescue. Amen. We can relate tonight because all of us have been made to wait. We've looked around at moments in our life and we've wondered, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why am I having to go through what I'm going through? Why am I having to wait? Don't you understand where I am? Lord, don't you understand that I need you? God, I've prayed for you and I've sent you, but I cannot find you. And it seems like the sickness has gotten worse. And it seems like death is knocking on the door. And it seems like disappointment is just around the corner. Lord, where are you? And delays in our life are very real. I think about delays concerning physical problems. Here Lazarus was. This was a very practical and a personal issue. Lazarus was sick and they needed Jesus to do something about this. And so there's delay concerning physical problems. And then there is delay concerning spiritual problems. There are situations that even seem to hinder our spiritual progress. There is dark opposition and demonic opposition many times in our life. It seems like the heavens are brass. And we pray when we pray and we cannot advance forward in our faith, and we deal with the same problems over and over and over again, and we ask the Lord, why is God not helping us with this issue? Why are we facing this thing over and over again? And it seems like we are opposed in our spiritual progress. And so we think about physical problems. We think about the spiritual problems tonight. We think about delay concerning our intellectual problems. There are things that go on in life that we cannot understand. We cannot understand why we are where we are. We cannot understand why we struggle the way that we do. We do not understand why God cannot change the situation and put us somewhere else and lighten our load and and it becomes not only a physical or a spiritual, but it becomes a mental burden tonight. There are situations that are beyond our control and beyond our understanding. And we just have to realize tonight that there are some things that we are going through that we cannot help ourselves. We cannot alleviate the problem. We cannot remedy the issue. And it only takes God, and God alone is the only one that can help us tonight. Amen. And then think about this. This one's touched all of us tonight. Delay concerning financial problems. And I understand it wasn't an issue with money, but you think about Elijah. God had sent Elijah there to the brook Cherith, and God knew that there was a widow woman, and God knew that there was a dead boy that needed to be brought back to life. And Elijah didn't understand all that at the time, but Elijah is sent by the voice of God, the call of God, the word of God came to him again, and there he is at the brook. I mean, ravens are feeding him, and it's a little piece of paradise there up on earth, and Elijah has everything that he needs sustained by the hand of God. But what begins to happen in his life? The brook begins to dry up. The resources begin to dwindle. The comforts of life begin to fade away. And boy, listen to me, times are easy when you have the cash and when you have the money and when you have the resources. And sometimes we don't look up like we should, and we don't remember where the blessings come from. But boy, you let the bank account get a little dim. You let the hours be decreased at work. You allow those resources to dwindle down just a little bit. And we realize that there is a God in heaven who sustains us. And we need His help every single day. You know this tonight, that God showed up in Elijah's life just in the nick of time, and God is always on time. And I don't want to spoil it for you tonight. You know the story just as well as I do, probably better. But thank God concerning Lazarus and his two sisters and this family in the midst of affliction and sorrow and a burden. Thank God Jesus showed up right on time. Amen. And he helped them with the delay that they were facing. I said all that that to say this, that delays are very real in our life tonight. Amen. They touch home. They resonate with our heart and they resonate with the human experience because we all face that tonight. So we think about the reality of delays, and then I want to kind of get into the story just a little bit more here and deal with some things practically. But we think about not only the reality of the delay, but I want to examine it and think about it in this light. This is what we all want to know. This is what we all want to uncover tonight. We want to know the reason for the delay. The reason for the delay. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. The Bible says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The whole entire reason tonight, and I don't know what happened to Lazarus. I don't know if he caught a bad cough. I don't know if he ate a bad piece of food. I don't know what happened to him. But we know that something happened to him where he got sick, and it was bad enough for them to call upon Jesus. And the first thing that they want to do is they want to ask why. They want to know why. You say, how do we know that tonight? Because Jesus tells them, and he assures them tonight that the sickness is not unto death, and the reason behind it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. There are two reasons that you and I go through delays. There are two reasons that God does not answer us in the way or the manner that we think that He often should. Number one, we go through delays so that God may receive greater glory tonight. Amen. What would have been better for Lazarus tonight? Amen. Would it have been better for Lazarus for Jesus to come immediately and to heal him of his sickness? Or would it have been better tonight for Jesus to do what he did? To allow Jesus to pass through the veil of... For Jesus to allow Lazarus to pass through the veil of death, for the sorrow to come upon this family, and Jesus to perform a miracle like only Jesus could, and restore life to this old boy and allow this family and everybody who was around them and everybody who knew them in that community who came to comfort this family witness the resurrecting power of the Son of God. Amen. I think you know the answer to that tonight. Amen. But listen, God always has a greater end in mind. God always does what is best whereby He may be glorified in our life. Amen. Listen, God gives us delays in our lives that He may receive the greater glory, but not only because of that tonight, but He does it for our benefit and He does it for our spiritual advancement. Andrew Murray said this about affliction and delays and waiting in our life. He said, be assured that if God makes you wait longer than you wish, it is only to make the blessing doubly precious. Amen. If Lazarus has been healed, I'm sure they would have given their thank you. I'm sure they would have patted Jesus on the back. Maybe they would have fell down and worshiped Him at His feet. Who knows tonight? Amen. Oh, but listen, it was through the dark veil of affliction and through the dark veil of delay that God wanted to send these sisters and send this family through tonight, that He might increase their faith, that He might advance them spiritually. I know it's a Christian cliche tonight, but here's what one person said. They said, faith is like a roll of film. It is best developed in the dark. Amen. Whenever we're on the mountaintop, whenever we're there in the sunshine, amen. Sometimes our faith is not what it ought to be. But when God looks down and He desires to develop us and desires to grow us and desires to draw us closer to Himself, thank God, listen, He'll let us go through a valley. He'll let us go through a dark place. He'll let us go through some deep place of despair. And thank God, He brings us up out of the sea of affliction and brings us to that place where we can see His honor and glory best. I'm reminded tonight of a story that I read concerning a young prince and his father, the king. They were making conquest over an adjoining piece of country. They were there in the midst of battle, in the heat of battle. The king was there in the back of the army, there in the camp, looking over the battlefield, and the prince was down there with all of the soldiers, and the prince was there and he was fighting, and the battle became intense and the war became hot, and the prince began to panic, and he grabbed one of the men and he said, "Send word to my father that we're being overrun. Send word to my father to send reinforcements." The messenger goes up to the king. He gives the report of the war, the report of the battle. And here was the report that the king sent back to his son. He said, "Go, tell my son, I am not so inexperienced a commander as not to know when help is needed, nor so careless a father as not to send it when it is needed." Amen. Listen, you and I find ourselves oftentimes in the midst of battle. We find ourselves in the midst of affliction. We find ourselves that the walls are closing in, and the delay becomes longer and longer and longer. But what we fail to remember and fail to realize is that our Father the King, He's up there on the mountaintop. He sees the battle. He sees where the enemy is. He knows exactly where we are, and He knows when to send reinforcements. He knows when to send help, and it'll be on time every time. And thank God, listen, our Father, like that King, He knows best when we find ourselves in the midst of the battle and in the midst of affliction and the midst of delay tonight. Amen. Whenever we think about Jesus in His ministry tonight concerning Lazarus and his sickness and concerning Mary and Martha, I want you to think about this tonight. Jesus was not too involved to care about the situation. He was not too involved to care about the situation. The Bible tells us there, of course, in the preceding chapter in John, chapter number 10, Jesus is busy in the ministry. Jesus, no doubt, is burdened down with those things. No doubt, Jesus got tired and He got weary. And we could say, well, Jesus had His own plate full, and God was concerned about all of these other things. And as He was active in the ministry, serving others and involved in other people's lives tonight, amen, I'm glad tonight that, listen, God may be involved in somebody else's life, and I'm sure He's helping you and He's helping others tonight, but He is not too involved for you and I tonight. Amen. He is not too busy to look our way and be concerned with what concerns us tonight. Amen. Jesus was not too involved. And then can I say this, that Jesus was not impotent tonight. Amen. Listen, these women knew that Jesus was able to help. Amen. They knew that He could help. And I think the question here is He would help tonight? And listen, where we struggle tonight is not struggling with God's power or struggling with God's ability or knowing that He can. Where I fail, I don't know about you, but when I begin to get nervous and when I begin to fret, the questions like this roll through my mind and heart. Will Jesus do what He did before? Will He help me like He always did? Listen, sometimes the walls begin to close in, and brother, we feel like one more wrong step and we're sunk. But I'm glad, thank God, listen, He knows where we are, and may we never forget that fact tonight. The right reaction to our problems is often time required to pass the test. In other words, we may have to go through something over and over and over again to learn the lesson, to learn the spiritual value of what God is trying to teach us tonight. Amen. And so we see that reality of those delays tonight. Amen. The reason for the delay, it is for our spiritual benefit, and it is for the honor and the glory of God. I want you to think about this tonight. As we said that concerning our reaction, I want you to see not only our reaction But the reaction of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Look in verse number 21. The Bible said, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." Martha begins to affirm her belief in the resurrection. And we thank God for that tonight. Amen. She had the right doctrine. She had the right belief concerning things. But listen, Jesus was not talking about the last day. He was not talking about that resurrection. She said, your brother's going to live again. Amen. This problem is presented. Lazarus gets worse and worse, weaker and weaker, and he dies. And how were they to explain this? Jesus was aware of what was happening. And I say again, Jesus is not ignorant of the situation. He knows tonight. Amen. Jesus knew what was going to happen with this man long before sickness ever struck the household. Jesus knew what was going to happen. I'm glad tonight, thank God, Jesus knows what lies ahead. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And listen, I'm telling you, Lazarus was sick and he was nigh unto death. And we all know this tonight. This is a wonderful picture of humanity tonight. This is a wonderful picture of the condition of sin. Amen. Here Lazarus is. He's sick. There is a great burden that has been presented. It seems like Jesus is delayed in coming, and he is delayed in coming. But thank God, Jesus knows the beginning from the end. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, before Adam ever sinned, before Adam ever rebelled against God, thank God our Savior was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before sin was ever a problem. The solution was already set in motion, and I'm glad tonight that God has everything under control. And if he can handle my sin problem, then he can handle the burden that I've got, and he can handle the worry concerning his delay in my life. Jesus was not ignorant of a situation. Can I say this, that Jesus was not indifferent to the situation? Look at verse number 5. The Bible is clear to tell us, John, in his testimony of this, as he is writing this through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he tells us over and over and over again that love was the motivation behind Jesus and his visit. Love was the motivation behind what Jesus did. And so, Jesus is not indifferent to the situation. Verse number 5 tells us that Jesus loved them. I want you to look with me towards the end of the chapter, these great verses. Verse number 34, Jesus is asking, he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse number 35, shortest verse in our Bible, Jesus wept. What a short verse it is, but what a great weighty verse it is. And even the testimony of these Jews in verse number 36, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. You say, what was it that was motivated? You say, how is it that Jesus, knowing that this man was at death's door, knowing that these women, were wringing their hands, they were fretting, they were worried about this situation, and Jesus withholds this healing from them at this time? We say, how is it that Jesus could love them? You think about this with parents and children. A parent knows what and when and how and why to withhold things from their children. If you take a child and you give that child everything that its heart desires, give it everything that it wants at every moment of the day, every single time, and it comes to you and it asks you for something and you give it to it every single time, you cease to be a parent and you begin to be a slave. Because they know that they can come and they can manipulate you and they can ask you for whatever it is their heart desires, and you're going to give it to them, no strings attached, no holds barred. Every single time they can have exactly what they want, and you know this as well as I do, that will lead to their utter destruction. That will lead to them thinking that the world owes them anything and everything tonight. And so in love, a parent loving their child knows what to withhold from them, knows when to withhold from them, knows how and why to withhold from them. And you say, why would they do that? Because they love them. They want them to appreciate what they provide and appreciate things in life. And if you got what you wanted every single time, you would not appreciate the blessings of life and know how to appreciate anything that you have. And what Jesus does tonight, it is motivated by love. And that is expressed to us in John 11:35, where the Bible tells us tonight Jesus wept. Now, I think one day I'm going to write a Bible commentary, because sometimes some of these guys, they look at what the Bible says and where we ought to take it for face value. I mean, they'll go all the way around and they'll try to come up with some great theological explanation as to why Jesus wept. One man said, could it be that Jesus wept because of the unbelief of the Jews? Could it be that Jesus wept because he knew the world that he was going to resurrect Lazarus back into was a sinful world, and Lazarus would leave Abraham's bosom and leave paradise and come back to a sinful world? Why is it tonight that Jesus wept? We find three times in the Word of God that Jesus wept. Jesus weeps in the Garden of Gethsemane. He weeps at a grave, and he weeps here in John chapter number 11 at a grave because of sympathy. You say, why did Jesus weep? The Bible tells us in verse number 36, even those Jews could see it who had such problems with unbelief. They said, behold how he loved them. Amen. And the Bible tells us in the opening part of a chapter that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He wept because he loved them tonight. Amen. He was touched with the feelings of their infirmities, and he saw their affliction, and he had compassion on them. And because they hurt, he hurt. And boy, I'm glad tonight that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus is not some faraway God off in the cosmos somewhere, just some creator, just some agnostic God that's not as concerned with the affairs of men, but there is a man seated at the right hand of God who knows how we feel. He knows what it is to be despised. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be forsaken. He knows what it is to hurt. And Jesus knows how we feel. And thank God Jesus wept tonight because he loved them and he could identify with their hurt. Jesus wept at a grave because of sympathy. Jesus wept at a gate, the city of Jerusalem. He looked out over the city and he wept and he cried and he said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. And he talks about gathering them up under his wings as a mother hen gathers those chicks. And I believe Jesus thought about what those Jews were losing out on because of their unbelief, and it caused Jesus to be sorrowful. He wept at a grave, he wept at a gate, but then, thank God tonight, listen, there at the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept there before the Lord with Peter, James, and John in that prayer meeting, and he prayed to his Father, and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Amen. And we see Jesus weeping at a grave for sympathy. He wept at a gate for sorrow. He wept at a garden for supplication. But you mark it down, all three times that we find the Lord Jesus crying in the Bible. Listen, he did it on behalf of someone else. He was not weeping for himself. He does not need our pity and our sorrow. Oh, but Jesus looked upon those that he loved, and Jesus looked upon those that he gave opportunity, and Jesus looked upon those who ought to be the ones calling him Lord, and he wept over them tonight because he loved them tonight. Amen. Everything that Jesus did, he did it for somebody else. Never did one solitary thing for himself. And so whenever you think about the delays in your life tonight, and you think about the difficulty, and you wonder where God is and why He's not moving and why He's taking so long tonight, remember this, that whatever you're having to wait, as the old saying is, waiting time is not wasted time. And while you wait, you ought to worship. And while you wait, you ought to adore the God who's been there time and time again. And He's not left you high and dry. He's never forsaken you, and He'll not start now. And while in the midst of the delay, and while you're waiting for Him to show up, rest assured that He'll be on time every time. And in the meantime tonight, you ought to worship Him and give Him glory for who He is tonight, because the reason He's making you wait, and the reason that He's taking so long, and the reason for the delay in our life is, number one, that He may be glorified. And number two, that you'd know to trust Him more, that your faith would increase, and that you'd know next time that He's taken a little bit longer than usual. Just any day now, just any moment, you'll see Him coming up the road to help you with the problem that you're facing tonight. Let's stand together as they prepare a song. You've been good listeners tonight.